Welcome to Learned League, a podcast about yesterday's Learned League questions and answers. I'm George.
And I'm Amanda. George is in Zephyr A, and I am in Zephyr B. This is season 19 for me and season 23 for George.
And this is day 23 of season 91.
The antepenultimate day.
I wish I were happier. The antepenultimate day of me being an Arundel.
Oh boy.
The first question asks us, what does the X stand for in the markup language XML?
Yeah, I don't know this one, and so I just worked at getting a good guess. I thought about, could it refer to, like, cross-referencing or cross-tab? But I thought, you know, probably the question would make some reference to it being a compound word or a hyphenated word or something like that to, you know, because cross-reference feels like you would have to put punctuation in there to make it a word. Or a single word. Even crosstab seemed like it would lend itself to something like that. So finally I thought maybe the X stands for something that starts with EX. And I thought, you know, this is supposed to be kind of an upgrade from HTML. And so maybe it works faster and better. And so I thought, how about if it's Express?
That would work. I've come across this every now and then in my work. I'm a technical editor, and I do a lot of documentation stuff of the software that my company produces. Mm-hmm. And occasionally we refer to XML. And one of the things that I do a lot is do acronym tables at the ends of documents. I tell document authors, just don't even bother collecting all of your various acronyms. I'll take care of that for you. So I see this every now and then. It's not common in our documents, but it's there. And that's why I was so confident that I knew this one and wrote it in and went on and I said extra.
Oh dear.
Yeah.
The answer was extensible.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is.
I would never have gotten to that.
Yeah.
This is a very echoid question, as it turns out.
Mm.
Question two, a bit similarly, I guess, if we're talking echoid, asks us, what university is located in College Station?
This is Texas A&M. Mm-hmm. Familiar to those of us who watch college football, or those of us who were in ROTC. A&M has a notoriously large detachment of ROTC students, and therefore you learn about College Station, Texas, home of the Texas Agricultural and Mechanical University.
All right. Yeah, this is one where I just kind of like, I've watched enough college football to know that, well, or at least to have a sense of where College Station is. And my initial thought was, is this Texas Christian University? I was pretty sure it's Texas. I know it's not the University of Texas because that's at Austin. And other Texas universities like didn't sort of spring to mind. So I kind of went through and before really thinking of other university names, like, or maybe kind of in conjunction with that, went through just my alphabetical list of states in my head to make sure that none of the other ones really rang a bell with College Station. So I went through that rigmarole and thought, okay, College Station, Texas, you know, just seemed to be close together in my head. And so then I kind of thought, well, what other universities are there in Texas? And really, Texas A&M was the next one to float to mind. And I thought, well, yeah, that sounds about right. You know, I would have definitely, you know, overheard enough football announcers talking about being in College Station for game day or whatever to, you know, kind of make that association not super bright or strong in my mind, but enough there that when I, you know, think of College Station, thinking that Texas A&M is there sounded about right. So that's what I put down.
And that was correct.
Well, yay.
Question three asks us for the name of a skiing competition and the bumps used in that competition.
Right. So this, you know, continuing basically on the echioid trip here, these are moguls, and there are certainly a couple of other entry points that Thorsten could have put in a question like this to give people that. But this is just something where I think when I've watched the Winter Olympics in the past, this competition is different enough from the other ski races. Like, it's not, a downhill winding path. It's not like slalom. It's not like, ski jumping or something like that. It's these weird, bumpy, paths where the people's knees are just jouncing up and down all the time. And so it looks really uncomfortable, frankly, to watch people do moguls races. And so I just sort of knew what this one was because it's such a distinctive, sort of sports performance that I happen to have seen. And with a name like it has, that's kind of different and weird too. Like, it's associated with other things. And so tacking it onto that makes it kind of, intriguingly distinctive enough to stick around in my head. So the short answer is I knew this one. I put down moguls.
Yeah, I don't think I would have known this if not for the last part of the question that said the word is also used for the bumps themselves. Like, I don't know that I've ever heard of this referred to as moguls, like the competition. It's just just that thing where you go down the hill and have the bumps. So, but yeah, moguls, me too.
I will say I did debate about whether to put it as singular or plural, but the word is used for the bumps plural. I thought then I should use the plural form of it. So,
Reasonable. I put the singular.
moguls was the correct answer. I'm sure you'll be marked correct though. Question four gives us a little bit of verse and asks us who is the shepherdess that is referenced in that nursery rhyme.
I just could not get the meter of this. It just, yeah,
Huh.
it just, I knew that I would recognize it as soon as I saw it, and I just could, it's not Mary, Mary quite contrary. It's not Mary had a little lamb, but I just could not. I tried my trick of da 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 da. It just nothing came, and I don't know. We just never, we never did a lot of nursery rhymes with any of our kids, so
True.
I just this one floated away from me and never came back. So I finally just said Mary and knew I had it wrong.
Ah. Yeah, I also considered both of those possibilities because I figured I would have heard of this character in the rhyme, but I did not know these lines from the poem, I guess you'd say. And so I just kind of went back through and thought, okay, what nursery rhymes do I know of that have girls and women in them, and being a shepherdess in particular? And I did think of a Mary Had a Little Lamb, which is more a song than a, it's a nursery rhyme too, but it kind of has a tune associated with it. But I thought I know more of the lyrics or the words to that, and that doesn't fit with this. And then Mary Quite Contrary is all about flowers, so this content in here, I was like, that's not what this is. So what do I know of a nursery rhyme with a shepherdess? And I thought, oh, Little Bo Peep has lost her sheep. And I was like, I should know more lines of this, and that is it. For like remembering what in the world is the content of this poem. And I thought, well, sure, the rest of this seems like it could fit into that because I've barely got a snippet that just gives me that name. So I figured the only thing I could imagine it being was Little Bo Peep, so that's what I put down.
It was a little bit of peep.
Guess I ought to go read it sometime, I guess.
Can't believe I thought that was obscure. Okay. Question 5 asks us what PG-13 rated 1984 teen heroism action film did the capture of Saddam Hussein name itself after?
So this is one where it didn't take me overly long to think through the films that this could be, but I was hard pressed not to put down like Adventures in Babysitting or Teen Wolf or something like that, because the 1984 was kind of a heyday of having certainly teen hero movies that were sort of, you know, sci-fi or action or something like that. But I thought, you know, this had to be something much more pure action film than just, you know, a teen comedy with some adventurous stuff in it. And so I thought myself back to, well, you know, there was Red Dawn back then, which had like Charlie Sheen and Patrick Swayze, I want to say. And I never actually saw it because I was a little bit, it's PG-13. I would have been 11 when it came out. And it was also just completely not my bag at the time. Mm-hmm. I was too young to find them heartthrobs. I didn't, you know, care that much about these sort of gung-ho, you know, militaristic kind of action stuff. So I thought, well, Red Dawn sounds like it could be right. It vaguely chimed in with my memory of what the name of this operation was. And I will use as my excuse that my, you know, now almost 19-year-old kid was born that year. Mm. So, you know, I was a little bit busy, and could only pay so much attention to the news. Although, I will note that one of the times we invaded Iraq happened on my ex-husband's birthday. It was one of the many events that was sort of part of his, what he called his birthday curse. Anyway, all that to circle back to, Red Dawn just kind of pinged my radar enough, that I thought, yeah, I think that's right. And if it's not, then it's something that's obscure. And then I will really regret not putting down a funny answer.
So it was not only the capture was not only in December 2003, it was on this date in 2003.
Well, that's funny.
Which very nearly screwed me over because I was looking for a Today in History to do for my tri-weekly staff meeting that I lead.
Oh, yeah.
And I do a Today in History on all of them, and I try to find some of the slightly more obscure stuff. And I was, I did it as usual, I just Googled Today in History, and that brings up like three or four things. And one of them was, on this day in history, Saddam Hussein was captured as a result of Operation Clear Away, Clear Away, Clear Away! Because I'd seen this, but I hadn't answered it yet. I knew it was Red Dawn. I didn't feel that I would be losing anything by reading that, but
sure.
Just to be safe, I didn't want to. I didn't want to possibly cheat, but yeah, this was Operation Red Dawn. I was in Egypt at the time when it happened, and you know, that was all over the place. And also, I just knew that, you know, a 1984 teen heroism action PG-13 film was Red Dawn. I believe it was the first movie to be PG-13.
Right.
So, yeah, I just knew this immediately and was annoyed that it had been nerfed out quite so hard.
It could hardly be nerfed harder for someone like you in particular. And I feel compelled to, you know, recount the slight silliness of this movie for our younger listeners. Red Dawn was about the Soviet invasion of Nebraska?
Well, America.
Or of America.
I believe
but
this
like...
happened in Colorado. The main part of the movie was in Colorado, I believe.
How did that work? I haven't seen it.
Well, yeah, I mean, they parachuted in, and Cubans.
Oh, okay.
There were Cubans involved.
Sure.
And Russians.
Yeah.
Which is, my other story about Red Dawn is, I saw it, again, for some reason, after I'd had about a semester of Russian, and I was amazed at how well I knew Russian, because I understood every piece of Russian dialogue in this movie.
Uh-huh.
And then I saw it again several years later, and I realized that apparently the screenwriters had taken one semester of Russian, because every time it was about to get more complicated than that, they switched it to Spanish. They always had the Russians and the Cubans talking to each other.
Ooh.
And like the really basic dialogue would be in Russian, and then it would get more complex, and they would switch it to Spanish for whatever dumb reason.
Wow.
So yeah, the 2.5 more years of Russian I took trained me none of the rest of that movie. It was amazing.
Wow.
So yeah, that was, and they remade Red Dawn recently. I don't remember. I think it was like North Korean invading America, something like that. I didn't even bother seeing it. That's even more
ludicrous.
Because, yeah, it was, yeah. So.
Yeah, wow. I mean, yeah. At the time, it was that's very, you know, strongly Cold War, you know, mm-hmm. tensions mm-hmm. At the time. Mm-hmm. And so I guess it seemed more like that there was something we all were scared about was being up against the Russians and what were they going to plotting to do to us and that kind of thing. There's a paranoia about it.
It was silly at the time. Like I remember seeing it as a teenager and thinking, really? Okay, whatever. But, yeah. So that was that.
Yes, indeed. That was the correct answer. Finally, question 6 asks us to translate either a Spanish word or an Arabic word into German.
And it's arbol is the Spanish word. And once again, tangential to the dumbest reason that I know anything, there is an audio drama podcast that came out over the last couple of months called The Thousand Fights of Fuego Fuerte, El Luchador. And it is a rampantly silly podcast about a lucha libre wrestler in Mexico who is fighting vampires.
Nice.
And one of the victims of the vampires is a very tall, very big wrestler named El Arbol.
Sure.
And of course, you know, I've heard that a few times over the last few weeks as I listen to this and just know, oh yeah, that's right, he's the tree because he's big. Got it. Okay. So as soon as I saw that, I knew, oh, okay, this is the tree. What's the German version of that? Okay, what's that Christmas carol? Oh, Tannenbaum. That's it. Okay. Mm-hmm. So is the tree part the tannin or is it the baum? I feel like it's the baum. I feel like that's the version of it. I don't know what the tannin necessarily means, but we'll go with Baum on this one.
Well, this is the one that irked me the most of the day, and not really. Well, I guess I'll explain why as I talk about my answer. But I, instead of Russian in high school, college, whatever, took Spanish, and arbol is a pretty basic word that you learn that's tree. Arabic shajar does not help me at all. I do not know Arabic. And so I thought, okay, well, the German translation, since we're in a very tis the season time of year, must be Tannenbaum, the whole word.
Okay.
Even though I knew it, you know, translated in English to O Christmas Tree, but I figured, you know, that was for, you know, having the right number of syllables for the meter of it, much more than the meaning of it. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't, like, part of it is I don't know German, so I couldn't really tell whether, you know, something, I didn't even think of something other than the full word Tannenbaum as being, you know, I don't think of that as being a compound word, I guess. Not knowing the language, as I don't.
All German words are compound words.
Seems like, yeah. Well, except the correct answer here, which is not.
Yeah.
And so I put down Tannenbaum, feeling also certain that, you know, we're in mid-December here and that was a reference to the Christmas carol more directly.
Mm-hmm. Reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Tannenbaum means fir tree.
Yes, it does.
So I got 4. Same. I feel really stupid about the 4.
Yeah, and I'm a little irked at the, you know, first of all, the Yekioid content on this one. I feel like there was a way to get to the German translation one, kind of, but it's a tricksy one, and I say harumph to it being so. And then with extensible, I don't run across that in my daily work or life. And so I was very glad, though, to pick up one sports question and one sports question by proxy. Because I don't know what the college question would be categorized as other than game sport.
Geography?
I guess. Yeah. I don't know.
Technically speaking, it's sort about where of? Those are.
Yeah. And I suppose that's true.
Yeah. They're not all well-known sports schools.
Right. And I guess you can kind of do the math of, like I did, of what Texas universities do I know, mm-hmm. you know, what one sounds right with College Station. But I definitely wouldn't know about it in the absence of college football. Although it might have been mentioned, I actually took a trip to Austin in high school as like an ambassador for my Nerd Academy to another Nerd Academy in Austin. And I feel like there was some reference to Texas A&M as well. Like we had some field trip that was out to one of their extensions or I don't know what. So I might have heard a little bit about it there. It would not have stuck with me this long, though, if it wasn't for like college game day.
Yeah.
You know, football stuff.
Yep.
So I can hope that, you know, usually my language score is pretty good. I might not get much off that. I might well lose 3 off the top on XML, though. I felt like that was the most difficult one, unless you happen to know it.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Yeah.
So that's it for today. Mm-hmm. Tune in tomorrow for more post-game analysis.
Follow us on Twitter at LRNDLG. That's Learned League without the vowels. And remember,
don't forfeit.
Don't cheat.